What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fists. It's your favorite show without an intro. And we are live on this November 13th on Wednesday. I'm your host,
Keaton.
For
the second time.
Yeah, I'm your host, Keaton, joined by my co-host, Sam. We just had a travesty occur. Actually, the first time that it's ever happened.
Yeah.
The desktop app froze on me, and nothing was saved, nothing recorded. So this is our second time around, and it's a travesty because honestly, it was probably one of my favorite episodes that we.
It was probably one of the best. It was beginnings.
Yeah, it was one of the better ones, and it's a shame because we got to experience it, and you guys didn't. So, I guess we're sorry for that. But without further ado, the show must move on. So. Let's talk about something. So the college football playoff rankings just came out on yesterday. And, you know, no real surprises. I mean, Indiana below Penn State, you know.
Yeah, I don't, as a Penn State fan, I don't understand that at all.
You know, now you have Notre Dame fans bitching too. It's like, dude, take your ass back 4 weeks ago or 8 weeks or 7 weeks ago, your ass is lost against NIU at home.
Yeah.
Sit this one out, little bro. Hey, Notre Dame, when you figure out how to beat someone in a New Year's Six Bowl, you can be in a conversation. But until you guys win a New Year's Six Bowl, sit your ass on the couch and look at Touchdown Jesus and pray to Touchdown Jesus because you need Touchdown Jesus if you're going to win a New Year's Six Bowl. But luckily for you guys, since you guys are incapable of getting into a top four spot, you're not going to be playing in a New Year's Six Bowl right away. You're going to be playing on an on-campus game. So you guys can technically win in the first round of the playoffs. So you guys should be very thankful for that.
Do you think they're going to get a home one?
So who gets the home one? 5, 6, 7?
7. 7 plays 8.
So 5, 6, 7.
Wait, no.
Five.
7 plays 10, 8 plays 9. So up till 8.
So 5 plays 12, 6 plays 10.
11.
6 plays 11, 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9.
Yeah. So 5 through 8 get a home game.
5 through 8. So they're right there. They're right there. Notre Dame, don't choke it like you always do.
Dude, I can see USC beating them the last game.
Hey, Notre Dame, you're almost there. You're almost there. It'd be so sad if you guys choked it again. I don't know what I'd do with myself. Like Notre
Dame, I would honestly be kind of pissed just because that's another SEC team in the playoff.
I know. I mean, Notre Dame. I know right now you're matched up with
Tennessee, I think.
You're matched up with Tennessee. And I know when you guys play SEC teams and stuff like that, you guys get ran. But maybe this is your year. Maybe Marcus Freeman got you. Sorry for the anti-Notre Dame. Hey, I love you guys, Notre Dame. All right, now let's get in the anti-SEC. So did we go through the rankings? One, Oregon. All right, so let's go through the rankings real quick. One's Oregon, two's Ohio State, three's Texas, four's Penn State, five's Indiana, six is BYU, Tennessee 7, Notre Dame 8, Miami 9, Alabama 10, Ole Miss 11, Georgia 12. All right, college football runs through the Big Ten, obviously. That's what I got from that. I don't know if that's what you got from that, but that's what I got from that.
Georgia's also 12, but they're not actually in.
Yep, Boise State. Yeah, Boise State would be in. The first two teams out would be Georgia and SMU.
Yeah. Yeah, SMU doesn't make much sense with how low they are compared to like Miami, when they probably have a better resume than Miami.
Yeah. Let's go through it. SMU football schedule. And I'm not going according to FPI, to the ESPN, to the efficiency, to the SOR that they have. I'm going by the eyeball test. and I'm going strictly by the eyeball test here. Is that smart? I don't know, but you know what it proves to me? You know what it proves to me?
What?
Sometimes people get so wrapped up in these goddamn analytics, and they don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah, I know. I guarantee half these people don't even know what, like, FBI stands for.
They throw out these analytics saying they're so smart, and the thing is, the people at ESPN, they don't even do their own fucking research. And I'll put my heart and my badge and my name on that. Because you know why? They have these talking heads. They have these analytic peoples behind the scenes. And before they go on air, while they're like, this is what we're going to talk about like tomorrow, today, they go to these analytics people. They're like, hey, I want to talk about this, that, and that. Can you pull these like stats for me?
That are favorable for me, yeah.
And they pull them. And dude, they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even do the research themselves. They don't even do the research themselves. So, all right, looking at SMU. They played Nevada in early in the season. All right, whatever. Then they played HCU. All right, whatever. Then they played number 7 BYU. Obviously wasn't number 7 at the time, but that was a loss. Lost by 3, by the way, and they played terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And how's their loss worse than Miami's?
Yeah, I know. All right, and then they beat the brakes off TCU, beat the brakes off Florida State, won at Louisville. At number 22, Louisville, who was higher ranked at the time, I believe so, beat the brakes off Stanford, won a close one against Duke, but it was a look-ahead game to the Pitt game, which they beat the brakes off Pitt. Now they have Boston College, Virginia, and Cal. All right. Now let's go to Miami.
Yeah, they beat
Florida. Florida. All right. Florida. All right. All right. Florida A&M, all right. Ball State, all right. South Florida, all right. Virginia Tech, a game that they should have lost, all right. Cal, a game that they also should have lost, all right. Louisville, I'll give them that one. Florida State, all right. Duke, dude, Malik Murphy was looking like the five-star that he was, you know?
Yeah. Their defense is actually terrible.
Their defense is horrendous. And then Georgia Tech, like, from the Virginia Tech, Cal, Louisville, Duke, Georgia Tech, like, all these teams move the ball on them at will. Like, this defense is horrendous.
Like, yeah, they just get bailed out by Cam Ward.
And Cam Ward's kind of slipping right now. I'm telling you, he's slipping. And it's the inability to not think that every play is going to be a home run.
Well, it's also like he knows he has to do everything.
Yeah, but it's
like not on the offense, but like.
Yeah, but sometimes on the offense, he's trying to do too much whenever whenever it's first down or it's a third down in the second quarter, and he's like acting like it's the last play of the game, and he needs this ball to be completed. You know, there's zeros on the clock. You know, sometimes just take that check down, Cam. It's all right. It's all right. You don't need to sprint 80 yards, do all this, throw the ball across your body, or get strip sacked. Just take the simple one.
I also don't understand why Damian Martinez doesn't, like, get more carries.
Yeah, Fletcher's the lead back in that system.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know if it's more like if Fletcher's going to break you down, then we're going to put Damian in, you know?
I mean, Martinez leads the team in rushing, but...
I always feel like when I'm watching, Fletcher's always getting the rock early on.
I think recently he's been taking more.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Every time I watch Damian Martinez, like every time he gets the ball, he's at least getting 5 yards.
Yeah, I don't know. Miami's aren't gonna win anything with that defense in any games that matter. Miami will not be winning a game.
No, there's not a chance. Like you can't just plan on scoring 50 points and not having a mistake on offense.
Miami's not making the playoff. I'm telling you right now, Miami will not be in the playoff.
If they lose to SMU in the conference, they're definitely out, right?
Yeah. And, like, SMU, bro, they cannot... obviously, they already have that one loss, but, dude, all the way at 14, you're saying Boise State is better than SMU?
Yeah, I don't get this Boise State glaze either.
Dude, this, all right, I know well, you guys didn't hear it, but I went on this whole SEC rant, blah, blah, blah. I can't do it again. Sorry, guys. This is the authentic show. But I will go on this rant now. What is this Boise State hype? You're saying they're almost a top 12 team without, like, the group of five bid?
Yeah, like, I don't understand this.
Like, who has Boise State played? Oregon? All right, so what? They played Oregon tough. Oregon wasn't good early in the year. They were, like, getting their rhythm, you know? Like,
yeah.
Let's pump the brakes on this SMU horseradish. Like, all right, they got Genty. All right, whatever. All right, they beat the brakes off number 19, Washington State. All right.
I mean, they can still lose in the conference championship to UNLV.
Well, yeah. I think UNLV gets their get back in the conference championship game.
But Colorado State's undefeated in conference, so that, like, it's lining up to not even be played. And Colorado State's 6-3.
I forgot Colorado State's undefeated in conference play, and they've, like, covered every single game, I'm pretty sure, too.
Really? And why didn't you start taking them?
I just learned about the stat, too, like, a day ago or today. dude.
They play Wyoming this weekend.
We're not even going to get the UNLV rematch. The most anticipated rematch. Dude, honestly, dude, ever since UNLV lost, I've been, like, told. Who's UNLV play this week? Why don't I not take them? Who they play?
I have no idea. You haven't taken them in, like, 4 weeks.
Dude, I totally forgot that they were a football team. I totally forgot about them, man. They play San Diego State, and they're minus 20 and a half. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah, San Diego State didn't look that terrible when I watched them.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, they just beat Hawaii 29-27. Yeah, I'm good. UNLV was fun while it lasted. Barry Odom, or Larry Odom, whatever your name is. I think it's Barry Odom. Congratulations, new head coach of the University of Pittsburgh. Well, welcome to the Steel City.
Yeah, they'll never fire Narduzzi after this year.
I guarantee you Narduzzi's gone after this year. If he loses embarrassing fashion this week, if he loses next week, and if he loses the following week, he's gone.
Maybe, but I don't see them losing.
Think I can watch another Pitt football game if Narduzzi's the head coach next year.
You'll watch every single one because you did even last year.
Last year, it was just more for fun. I was like, dude, how bad? It was like, how bad is this team? I couldn't believe how bad that team was. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. Like, I was like, all right, here they come, out in I formation, handoff first down, handoff second down.
Pass third,
and then a 20-yard shank punt out of bounds. All right, defense, all right, they're already on the 50-yard line. Defense, good luck. It's like, dude, what are we doing? All right, let's talk about some. All right. I mentioned 4 weeks ago I was worried about the playoff and how the playoff was going to just, like, cater to the big brands because now they can
do it a lot easier.
They can do it a lot easier, and they can rationalize it. They can be like, this is why this.
Yeah, yeah.
Two lost SEC teams in the top 12, and then they can come out with all this made-up data that's fake on why they're the top 12 team and why 11-1 SMU teams, they're the first team out. Sorry about it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, it's true, yeah.
It's like, and it's, and you know, I'm not a big Danny Cannell guy at all. I actually find him quite annoying.
Yeah, but he's been bashing them too.
But he's actually came out with some good stuff, and it's like he said SMU has a better resume than Texas. It's not even debatable, but they're ranked 11 spots under. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What else?
I mean, Texas say? Really, really hasn't beat anybody.
And yet. Then someone said, "Do you think SMU would beat Texas?" That's the real question. And Danny says, "Did you think Vanderbilt would beat Bama? Did you think NIU would beat Notre Dame? Did you think Kentucky would beat Ole Miss? Did you think Georgia Tech would beat Miami?" And then he goes, "The biggest flaw in college football is creating a playoff based on who we think is the best versus who is actually the best football team." And that's what I said. It's not who is the best. It's turned into this hypothetical thing of who would win on a neutral site. Who would Vegas favor on a neutral site?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's turned into.
And it's almost like they've turned back to like the BCS. Not even like I don't even want to say the BCS, like how the computer system computed that, but it's like they're using these stats and they're using hypothetical Vegas lines to say who's the better team. And what world should Vegas ever determine who's in the playoff just based off hypothetical lines?
Yeah.
And that was the reasoning why Florida State got left out last year, was because they said, on an unusual field, who would be favored, Alabama or Florida State?
Yeah, it's also because their quarterback, they looked like terrible.
Well, yeah, but I know, but the committee guy, that was one of the points he said.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was literally one of the talking points he said was, on a neutral site, who would be favored? All right, on a neutral site, who would be favored?
I don't agree with that, yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs or Oregon? Like, what's this hypothetical game? Yeah. Like, it's all these hypotheticals. How about you guys, like, take your dumbass bias out and just turn on the tape and just judge football teams, eye test, resume test, boom. How about that? Because all this SEC talk, as far as I'm concerned, Texas has a shitty-ass resume. Tennessee has a shitty-ass resume. They lost to fucking Arkansas, for God's sakes.
Yeah, Arkansas lost to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and like, all right, Alabama's like the one that actually has like a decent, besides they lost to Vandy, like their schedule's actually like.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia, you could say they played all top teams too, but.
Yeah, but like the Texas, like, dude, Texas hasn't played like a.
Besides, the only good team they played, they got actually, like, dog walked.
Mm-hmm. And why is Georgia number 23 in the country? And why is LSU number 22 in the country?
Georgia? Missouri, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Why is Missouri number 23?
I don't know, because they're in the SEC and only have two losses.
They're not good, dude. Missouri, I'm on the hate watch Missouri train like so hard right now.
But I kind of want them to beat South Carolina too, so I can stop hearing about how South Carolina is like.
Yeah, but dude, South Carolina is second coming. South Carolina is one of my teams. You can't shit on South Carolina, bro. but Missouri, dude, Eli Drinkwitz and his weird ass philosophy of letting his daughters date Brady Cook if they were 18, he is the, like, he might be the most insufferable human on earth. I never thought I'd find someone like insufferable than like, or more like weird, like, you know, like Narduzzi's got that weird personality. It's like, dude, it's really hard. Yeah. It's really hard to root for you, because whenever Narduzzi's like key thing is like, oh, something bad happened. Let me get my little notepad out that, like, I have my assistant hand me and write down. And then, like, he's like, oh, we got to beat the refs. And then he's always blaming the refs. It's like, motherfucker, you played Virginia. It shouldn't come down to the refs. It shouldn't come down to the refs. Why are you blaming the refs,
even
bro?
When he has a big game, he'll still say, like, we battled so much adversity.
And then he'll say, like, oh, the ACC. Bro, shut your ass up. But Eli Drinkwitz or Elijah Drinkwitz, whatever the hell his name is, might be the most insufferable head coach out there.
Because his post-game comments?
And he was on Twitter after.
I didn't even see his tweets.
Bro, he was on Twitter going back to people, like, saying, like Missouri needs. And then he's like, oh, you don't know anything. Like, he was being, like, an actual ignorant, like, piece of, like, dipshit, like, on fucking Twitter.
If they just go out and get ran, dude, the Twitter is going to be all over him.
Bro, he is, like, where'd this guy come from, bro? And look, I'm looking at this guy right now. He, like, who is this guy? Has he played football? Is he an ex football player, bro?
I don't know. Let me look it up.
I'm Arkansas Tech. Where's this
Arkansas
guy?
Tech?
Yeah, that's where he went to college, I think.
He's making $9 million a year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He was at App State before.
So, looking at his... So, he was Springdale High School offensive coordinator. Then he ends up at Auburn as a QC. Then ends up at Arkansas State as a running backs coach. Then Arkansas State as the co-OC. And then Boise State as the tight ends coach. Then Boise State as the OC QB coach. Then NC State as the OC QB coach. Then he was at App State. Then Mizzou.
That was the year that they played Penn State close in the opener, right?
Who?
App State. Maybe not the opener, but one of the first 3 weeks.
They played in 20... I don't think... Did they play in 2019?
It was either 2019 or 18.
I don't remember them. I know 2019, Penn State played Buffalo and Idaho at home.
They played them in one of those years. I can't remember.
I know for sure 2019 because I was at the Buffalo Penn State game and I was at the Idaho Penn State game in the year.
No, it was probably 18. Yeah, it was 18. Okay. He wasn't even the coach then.
Yeah, so, dude, I don't know. He's just, does he not give you weird vibes?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't know why you're, like, talking shit when you haven't looked good all year.
Like, it's dude, they fight to put up 14 points a game. Like, putting up 14 points is tough for them. And then he wants to be on this high horse. Hey, and you know what's the best about ignorant-ass head coaches that haven't won shit? He always end up losing the week after the following week. You know?
It's not something you say when you have to go, like, to South Carolina, like, this week, too.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's the best part of it, man. Because you have your, like, they always ride their high horse, like, after those games. And then they just get, like...
Yeah.
It's whatever, dude. I don't even know where that rant was going. It went nowhere. But, dude, guys, I'm actually really disappointed you guys missed out on the episode. Like, you got no
idea. Yeah, in our actual playoff breakdown.
Yeah, and our, like, I'm like, it's hard to, like, say, like, it's hard to re-talk, you know, rehash.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because we already talked about it and, you know, we're off script. We're off script, so. Like, we don't have a script to start with, so, like, we're off, and then you have an organic, you know, talk, and then, like, you can't just, like, organic eat that either, so. It's whatever. Let's get into gambling, I guess. Let's get into one game that we want to talk about. Tennessee traveling to Georgia. This is actually right when it cut off, I think. Tennessee traveling to Georgia. No, it cut off when we were talking about Florida State. All right, doesn't matter. Tennessee traveling to Georgia. Georgia's minus 10. Nico's probably not going to play if I would have to
guess.
That's
what it says, but I cannot see him not playing because of a concussion. I feel like they jumped through every, like, hurdle.
Who's Chris Felicia's sources?
I don't know, but maybe Tennessee's going to hold him out so that, like, when they say, oh, you got the dog breaks, you got the shit beat out of you by Georgia, I don't think you should deserve to be in. They're going to say, oh, we didn't have Nico.
Until I see Pete Thamel tweet that Nico's out, I'll believe it then.
Yeah, I don't know how you do say it this early, too. It's freaking, like, it was Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday. I take that back, man. I take that back for reasons that you guys probably understand, but for reasons why I cannot say. It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday now, but it was tweeted Tuesday. But Tuesday,
it was tweeted yesterday. Yeah.
Tuesday, he's like, I saw he participated or something. He's in protocol, so like he can't be part of like team. But he was in like indies and shit.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to play. I can't see him not playing.
Dude, he's kind of had a drop off, dude. Remember when like people were acting like he was the second coming of, like.
I mean, they always beat. That's what I said. They always beat the brakes off those teams like early in the year.
It's funny, like his downfield accuracy is like totally like dipped.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it versus Bama. They probably should have beat him by a lot more.
Yeah, but it's Georgia. I think this is a good bounce back spot for Georgia. I feel like they always bounce back. But like we were saying in the episode that wasn't recorded, Georgia just hasn't looked good, and it's hard to get clicking. It's hard.
They look good on defense at times. Texas game, they looked good on defense.
But their secondary isn't as good as it once was. And I think Texas doesn't really have the receiving core that Ole Miss has, so they weren't really able to attack it. You know what
I mean? Yeah, and I don't think – I mean, they have good pass rushers, but, like, their front seven isn't as good. Like, them in the trenches is not Georgia in the trenches of the past 3 years.
Yeah, so it's I think this is – this is a game like Georgia beats the breaks off Tennessee, and they're like, oh, Georgia's like this real good team, and it's this propaganda horseradish shit that's going to be pushed, and then Georgia's somehow going to end up, you know, at number 7. They're going to get a home playoff game. Like, we get it.
Yeah, and they're going to play like Notre Dame.
On this episode, did we talk about the cold?
No.
Ah, too late. Who are you leaning? I mean, dude, I think this is a get back spot for Beck to like shut up the haters, but if I'm being honest, I don't think his heart's in it.
Yeah, like it's also like Tennessee's defense is good too. Like, it's not like they can just go out there and refine that shit.
Yep, it's totally different for Tennessee this year. Like, Tennessee's defense is their backbone of their team this year, and it's not the offense, it's the defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Georgia's going to win this game. If Nico's playing, I might take Tennessee to cover, but I can't put that bet in now.
Yeah, you gotta wait that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards Georgia, though. All right, let's get into gambling. So, I'm 44-28 on the season, and I'll boots on the ground this weekend. I'll be at the Pitt Clemson game. I mean, I was way more excited for it 2 weeks ago than I am now, just because I learned this football team might have actually been the luckiest team on earth, actually. and it's sad to say, but dude, this offense, undisciplined, dropping balls, false starts at home, procedure penalty, like all the offensive line so bad. I'm not impressed with the defense and the Sharks. Like, I think that was overhyped, because if you actually watch them, like, every single game, like, Cincinnati rushed for damn near 300 yards on their ass. Like, where's the Sharks filling the holes? where are they at? bunch of stuff. Nart Doozy's complaining to the refs because, hey, hold on, train coming through. You wanna know something funny? So remember this is like full circle.
Yeah.
Remember when Hudson Clement scored, but it got called back to the pull down on that hold? And you know, it was all that. Guess what happened against Virginia?
What, that they got a touchdown called back?
They had a big play. They had a big play called back due to the
really
due to the same the pull down in the literally the same. And I was like, fool. I watched the replay. I was like, dude, I can't even complain, because against West Virginia, I said, yeah, dude, that's a hold. What the hell are you talking about?
So, like, yeah, that's the same damn play.
So, you know, I can't backtrack on it. You know, But yeah, it's like. It's the Donovan did some media today, and he said Clemson's a good team, blah blah blah. This is our get back game. I don't know. Like, if I missed something, or if I was in a fucking coma, but did I not watch? Was I dreaming, or did I not watch SMU 2 weeks ago? Put fucking 45 up, and like, you guys didn't score.
Yeah, and then the next game they.
And then the next game was the get back game, right? The players only, wasn't there a players only meeting? And this was like all the. Bro, stop. Stop. The get back game was supposed to be against Virginia, and you were supposed to show that, hey, this offense doesn't fucking suck.
Yeah.
Newsflash.
I just like saying nothing in that spot. Like, just like say, okay, yeah, we're preparing. Like, you know what I mean? Big game.
This offense is not very good. And it hasn't been good since the Cal game. Because you know what teams realize? Blitz? Blitz? Why do we need a blitz? We can send four and we can drop
eight.
We drop eight, all right?
Or seven.
Seven. Yeah, there's only 11 on the field.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah. I see.
We can be in a three-man front and we can send three and still get pressure because Pitt's offensive line is dog water and I can find a better offensive line in the middle of Ohio on some D2 campus. Or we can and drop eight. And guess what? Eli's not going to know where to go with the ball because guess who proved that? And I don't know why teams didn't play like that, like the whole way forward.
Well, is that what Virginia did?
Cincinnati did that in week two of the season. And Eli was stumped, dude. The offense was nowhere to be found, but it was like Reed hit like a big play. Then like Eli just started rushing, you know, like it wasn't even like that, but like Cincinnati literally only sent three on like a three-man front and dropped eight. It's like, all right, make the right decision. Let's see if you guys can do it. Inability to all the same route concepts. And like I said, preseason, when you go fast, it can look cool. All right, you got your explosives. But when it ain't working, it looks real stupid when you're off the field in 10 seconds.
Yeah, it looks real dumb. And when your defense isn't that great, it sucks for them.
It looks real dumb when you can't run the ball. It's tough, man, but I said this on Monday's episode. I don't think Narduzzi's here next year.
I can't see him getting fired if he has like eight wins, but
give me Barry Odom, dude. Please. I'll make the call myself and I'll extend the offer to him.
Wishful thinking.
Bring him to the Steel City.
Is that your only play?
And my only play is Pitt Moneyline at +300.
All right, well, I have six. West Virginia Moneyline against Baylor. Mm-hmm. West Virginia's going to get hot now. They're just going to run the table and potentially get in the Big 12 championship game.
And ruin it for the Big 12 so we can get another SEC team in there.
Yeah, but I have a +4,500 future on them to win the Big 12. So, and then Illinois -2.5 against Michigan State. Michigan State's been terrible. I think that Illinois finds what they had earlier in the season in this game, able to run the ball, score some points, and Chiles, he turns the ball over. He's a turnover machine. And Boise State -13.5 against San Jose State. I mean, Boise State can probably score at will against San Jose State. I watched them play Washington State earlier in the year, and they couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah.
Kansas +3.5 against BYU. BYU, I mean, I don't care. No matter who they play, it's going to be close. It's going to be down to the wire. And I think maybe Jalen Daniels finally figured it out this year.
No.
I mean, it took a while, but I think the offense should be able to move the ball against BYU. Then Penn State -28.5. Always got to ride my boys. Purdue is not a good team. And I think Penn State's just going to beat the shit out of everybody from here on out. And then my final play is Pitt Clemson over 53.5. I know Clemson's at least going to give me 30 in this game.
Right, that's a bold pick because
I think it's going to be a blowout if Clemson wins, but if Pitt stays in this game, they're going to have to score points. And watching what Louisville just did to him, I mean, I don't think Clemson's defense saw that.
Dude, I don't care whose defense it is. Pitt can't move the ball. I just watched them against Virginia, barely able to put up 19.
Special teams and turnovers, man. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, I do see Klubnik do some weird shit. Like, yeah. I don't know, dude.
I think they're going to find it back for one game just so I can hit my over.
I need it, bro. I'm Pitt Moneyline is a multi-unit play for me, just so I can feel something. And I'll know within 10 minutes if that was the wrong decision. Whenever Pitt is down 21-0 in the first quarter, because Eli threw two pick sixes, and then Yarnell's coming in, and then he throws another pick six, and then it's 28-0. So, it is what it is, dude. The Pitt train was fun while it lasted, but now
yeah, you guys had a good little run.
Yeah, now it's time for the real football teams to really take control.
Yeah, that was like a 2-hour episode.
Yeah, guys, I really hope whenever I hit stop recording that like magically like it just combines
back up there.
It just combines the two, but that is not going to happen. So unfortunately, you guys missed out on a great episode. I'm sure we'll have another good episode like that, but fuck, who knows?
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough, I guess. I mean, JR and Carter, I'm sorry, man, and Cade. you guys really missed out on a good one.
And Chen oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Chen. Actually, I'm not ready to end the episode just yet. I forgot, we didn't break it down, but There was some breaking news in the arena football world, and it's
okay. You're cutting this part out. I'm not talking about
it. All right. Let's get wrap this up. It's your favorite show. Without an outro. See you guys next week.